Okay, today's daf is daf Mem Hei, and Abba is clearly off to Hawaii. It's just a matter of time. Okay, we were holding right after the Brayta of Shilah. So the latest thing that we learned was that there's three different dinim when it comes to a Nara. This was the Brayta that Shilah brought. So one is that if she had already gotten married and he was coming along now and was saying that he brought witnesses that she was mizanet while she was still a avusa. So that's the din of the Moshe Shemra, we give her skila, and it's albeit peta peta bia, to say it's your fault that she's this way, it's nothing to do with us, this took place before she came into our family. If she was Mizana, and witnesses came that she was Mizana while she was still in Arusa. Of course, that had nothing to do with her husband. Then the whole issue of Ruhu Gidunim Shikidalta is irrelevant, and the Torah doesn't prescribe there anything but skill, like a normal Nara Amurasa, that's special, a Nara Betula Amurasa, is a din of skill as opposed to the chenek of a normal Eshet Ish. In a case where she had been Mizana, but then before we passed in on her, she became a Bogeret. So then she's like a normal Eshetish, even though at the time of the Znut she was a Nara. The halacha is that she gets chenek. So now what you're saying here is, in other words, that last piece, says the Gemara, we're now on the fourth line, the fifth line is where we got up to yesterday. Lameimra, in other words, what you're trying to tell me is that the fact that right now, we're coming now to Bezdin to carry out this psak against her, is Nishtana Gufa, Nishtani Ktala, now that she had, or originally when she had done the fate, she was a Nara. You're telling me that if now she's a Bogeret, her din is a different din, and it's as if she's not a Nara. That's a very interesting thing. I would have perhaps thought that it goes according to the moment that she does the chait, not the moment that she's now in Bezdin to be punished for her chait. But the problem is, it appears that that's not true, because V'raminu Nara Hamurasa Shezinta. She was Mezana indeed as a Nara Hamurasa. What happens over here is that by the time the husband is Moshe Shemra Aleha, she's already a Bogeret. So her body changed. And this is the case, sounds like the case that Shila is talking about. Misha Bagra Otziala Shemra. So the halacha is like this, it says in his brayso. Who eino lokeh eino noten me'asela? He, because at the time that he was Moshe Shemra, she is not the Nara Hamurasa. So he does not have the normal din of a Moshe Shemra. So there's no din of Malkus, which we learn out from Yisroto. And there's no din of the Knas, of the Me'asela. All of this only applies to someone who is Motzi Shemra on a Na'ara. And she's a Bogeret. Even though what he's saying took place while she was a Na'ara. But he, when it comes to her din, fascinatingly enough, he, the Zomemea, she, and it sounds like it's saying, which obviously is ridiculous, means if. The Gemara's going to talk this out there. So she and the witnesses that turn out to be Zomemim, that claimed that she had been Mizana, it turns out that his witnesses are Magdimim le Beit Haskila. They can get up early in the morning and they will find the Beit Haskila waiting for them, and there's no way out. So we always wait till the next morning to give you a chance to work this out overnight. It shouldn't be that the carrying out of the dinners on the same day. Okay. In any event, it says over here, by the way, he is on the mail. Wait. What? How could she also get skila if her Aiden were liars and they were Zomimim and they're getting skila? Salka Daitach, I mean, it can't mean that. Of course, it doesn't mean that. It means he or Zomimim. It doesn't mean both of them. And that's a choice. If it was true, we didn't find out the Aiden were liars. So then she is Magdima to Beit HaSkila. If it turns out that they were liars, so then the Aiden are Magdimim to Beit HaSkila. But in any event, what do we see over here? That despite the fact that in this case she became, it says Misha Bagra, she became a Bogeret, that the halacha is that it goes according to when she had been Mizana. I thought you said, Shila's Braita, let's refer to that first Braita, Shila's Braita. You said in Shila's Braita, so in Shila's Braita, it says that it goes according to what she is now, not according to what she was. If she was Bagra, the halacha was that she would now be Nidonet B'Chenek, he said. And here it says B'Ferish, that although that may be true of the male, and he doesn't get the normal Malkus and Mea mass that he normally would get, but when it comes to her, we don't say that there was a Shinui. What the reason is for this difference, we'll see. But over here we see in terms of her, there's no Shinui. Now, of course, it's not quite the same case, because the case of this Braitha is a case of Motzi Shemra, where the husband was the one who now could claim that Lo Matzah B'Tulim, and he has Edim, and that she was Mizana,
But, I mean, essentially, as far as the pure issue of Eshet Ish, in the first case of Shila, she was an Eshet Ish as a Nara, and she's punished now as a Bogaret, because that's what she is currently. And yet in the second case, she was Mizana as a Nara, and now she gets, even though she was now a Bogaret, she gets now Skila, the opposite of Shila. How do you explain that? Omar Rava says, Rava, explain it by the very difference that you're pretending is not a difference. It's a very significant difference. You're asking for the second case. The second case is the case of Motzi Shema. Motzi Shema doesn't follow the same rules as a normal halacha where a woman was mezana and witnesses come outside of the context of the Otzar Shema. Motzi Shema is considered to be a big chiddush. And since it's a big chiddush, so therefore it doesn't now go according to these rules. Because, look, let me prove to you that it doesn't follow the rules. Nichnas al-chupa v'loni v'la b'yama v'zinta is b'chene. Suppose she had already gotten married. So even if she hadn't been Niva'elet, normally her mita would be right now, she's not an Aram Urasa. She's an Eshet Ish. The din would be that had she been Mizana now, she would be Bechenek, right? Nonetheless, the Motzi Shemra, because of what he's referring to earlier, is Beskila. Now, this doesn't make any sense. Where do we get the notion from that it's Beskila? So therefore, what the Gemara seems to imply, which is unbelievable, and this Rabbeinu Shmuel Tosfos brings, holds is the only way to understand the Gemara. What the Gemara seems to be saying is that even though what the guy says is, look, lo matzati betulin, she's already married, lo matzati betulin, the Torah isn't mechalik by saying that, and if it was true, but it was true at the time that she was a Nara. It doesn't say that. No, so she had been arrested him as a Nara, she now is married to him, and she's not Mureset anymore, and still a Nara. What's the halacha? If it would be right now. The Torah doesn't say that it's any different. So suppose right now, she was in the Sua, but she had never been Nivelet to him, so she's still a bit too much. So normally we would say, whatever, Hanesha Tish is Bechanic. What's that? I mean, she's Nivelet, or ain't a Nivelet. But here the Torah is not Mechalic as the Nara Bitula, which she still is, that it has to be Dafka at the time that she was Mureset. So maybe Enoch Inami, when it comes to Motzi Shemra, that change doesn't apply. Even though it would normally apply to an agency. That's what the Gemara seems to be. It just says, V'im emet haya. So it was emet. Lo nimtzu betulin l'nara. She's still a nara. Lo nimtzu betulin. Now what are you going to do? So that means that someone, she had been mezana. I don't know when she was mezana. That's not the point. Point is that we know she was mezana even though it was after the kuppel. So you see that she would be Beskila, even though it seemed to later. So says Rabbi Shmuel, tremendously.
Rashi, on the other hand, explains it quite simply. He says, look, this is basically how the Rishonim understand Rashi. He says, look, the underlying point that the Tana of Shila is making, the Bright of Shila is making, is that what we do in order to define the Chiyav of the Misa is we look at current status. Therefore, Rava says, look, if you're going to look at current status, and it's obviously not current status of the configuration of her body, is she a Bogeret or is she a Nara? I mean, that's not what's important. What's important is what the din would have been defined as in the current status. Now, the status can change not only because her body has changed, her status can change because her marital status has changed. So, in other words, before, the whole din of Nara Hamu'urasa is a din in pre-marriage, I mean, it's before Chuppah, and there's a halach of Skila, whether it's through Motzi Shema or not through Motzi Shema, there's always a din of Skila. However, in Eshet Ish, after she's already been married, despite the fact that she's not Nivelet, she went to the Chuppah. He never slept with her, and at that point she finds somebody else to sleep with. The halacha is that it's Bechenek, and this we learn out because the Torah specifies each time in the din of Skila that it has to be a Nara Mu'urasa as opposed to Nesu'ah, whether or not she was Nivelet. Therefore, by the same Svara that the Braita of Shila would have said that according to this, if she was found to have been Mizana, since her current status for that Znus, the din would have been Chenek, she should be getting Chenek. And yet the Torah says beferish that the case of the Motzi Shemra, which by definition has occurred after change in status, namely Nisui, is nonetheless going to be Machayev or Skila. Therefore, says Rav, you're going to have to admit that Motzi Shemra is a unique situation. And as a unique situation, you can't ask from it on the change in her body also, because just like in the change of the din that the Nisuin creates, we recognize that that's by definition Motzi Shemra. So to the change in the din that the change in her body creates, we should say exactly the same thing. To which now we respond, if you're going to say that it's a Chiddushon, then why don't you say, says Rav Yehoshua, that the Chiddush should be limited to the change in status rather than the change in her body.
Okay. In any event, Rava tries to be machalik between the normal case of the mizana and the case of Motzi Shemra that was mizana. To which Amalei Ravuna Bereder of Yeshua LaRava, to which Ravuna Bereder of Yeshua replies, it says just the opposite. If you're telling me it's a chiddush, so then the least possible chiddush should be the chiddush. I mean, the case of Motzi Shemra, what was the ishtani? Not that her body changed. The case of Motzi Shemra, you're bringing her, she was still a nara, she was still a bitula. What changed is the halacha. Because now she was nechmeset l'chupa, but she wasn't nivelet. So that changed. How do you know that if her body changed? On the contrary. If the Torah is being machadish and nudim by Motzi Shemra, generally our approach is, when something is a chiddush, you limit it to the smallest chiddush possible. So why should I assume now that the chiddush would apply even in a case where it's ishtani gufa, that her actual body changed from an ara to a bogera? Dilma ki chodit rachman eka de lo ishtani gufa. Maybe the only chiddush is in a case where she did not physically change. Aval eka de ishtani gufa lo chodit rachman. Maybe in a case where she indeed became a bogera, then the halacha would be exactly the same as it would be in the, I would have thought, but it would be exactly the same, which means that she should now be, according to the Tanakh, the Brayta of Shila, it should be b'chenek. And yet it's not, says the Skila. El Amar Navarbar Yitzchak, look, there's no way out of this. We have a machlokas over here, and she does. It's got to be. If the Tana that Shila brought yesterday says b'feiris that even though she became a bogeret, that when she became a bogeret, she's b'chenek. And today's Brayta says even though she became a bogeret, she's b'skila, then obviously there's a machlokas tanoi, and I'm going to show you there's such a machlokas. There's a machlokas tanoi about whether the change in her body at the time of the chiyuv is in fact relevant. And I want to show you this. It's not. Take a look at the case. Here's a classic case. Now the truth is, it isn't such a classic case. Why? Because what we're about to discuss is not a case where something changed in the guf, but rather where something changed in the din. But Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is now saying, forget about that. In other words, once we're already being mechadesh, that there's an afkamina and shit, it's Rava who wants it. You wanted to say it's across the board. So I'm telling you, if that's the case, I'll show you that across the board, whatever the shinoi is, whether shinoi in din, shinoi in guf, that's no longer relevant according to you. The case over here is that we have a person who was a regular guy, and he did an avera that was mechayev echatas. But before he brings this chatas, he suddenly becomes not a regular guy. He was appointed as the nasi. The din is that a nasi doesn't bring the same karma chatas that a regular guy brings. A nasi brings, instead of a kisva or seira, he brings a sa'ir. Or, this was a regular guy, and now he becomes a kohen gadol. It's a kohen gadol, now the halacha is, he would have bring out a par. And it's a different type of fit for over there. That par really is only given to him in cases of a mistaken or a ha. But there's no carbon of a kisba or a seira that is available to a kohen gadol. So now what do we do? At the time of the chet, sounds like our case, ishtari. The time of the chet, he did something with b'chaya, the kisba or a seira. The time of the chiyav, he now is no longer in that category, he has a different fiyav. So says the Mishnah, chot'u achelo nitvanu, if these regular guys, one of them who becomes a kohen gadol, one of them who becomes a nasi, so if the chet took place before they were given their position of nasi, or of kohen gadol, it goes according to when they were chutz. Harein ki yotot, and they still bring the korban they would have brought as a regular guy. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im nodalem ad shelo nitzmanu chayavim. No, that's only if we were already mechayev them, because they found out about the chayv. So the chayv of the korban took place before they became nasi or kohen gadol, respectively. But mishin nitzmanu, if they find out about it when they already are in the state of changed position, so now they're a sawyer, they are a nasi or kohen gadol, so then they are patur. So you see from there that according to Rabbi Shimon, we have over here a shita, that a shinui in din actually is mechayev them to look at their current situation and not at the initial situation. And that seems to be the machlokas between Shila's Braisa and today's Braisa. Shila's Braisa is saying a change in status is mechayev a different chiyuv, so that what was before skila now becomes schenek, because that's what it would have been now. And the second Braisa, which we just learned today, is saying, doesn't matter, it all goes according to the time at which the chet took place. So there we have our machlokas, says Rav Nachman. What's the problem? There's a stira, but only because you think everybody has to hold the same thing? Says the Gemara, but wait, Rabbi Shimon doesn't really say over here that it goes according to current status. All Rabbi Shimon was saying is it goes also according to current status, right? I mean, because, I mean, if it really went according to current status, what would the halacha be? The sawyer should not bring the Nazi should not bring a sawyer on what he had done as a regular guy, or the Kohen Gadol should not bring a pot, because that's the type of carbon that he brings. But Rabbi Shimon doesn't say that. Rabbi Shimon says, well, he's in limbo. He can't bring the carbon that he would have brought as a regular guy, because as a Nazi Kohen Gadol, that carbon is not an option. On the other hand, since he didn't do the chait as a Nazi or as a Kohen Gadol, he doesn't have now that option either. So he's in limbo. But if that's the case, when it comes to Misa, I mean, over there, he ought to at least we could have an option. Why does it have to be Dafka Chenek? Tosis brings a kasha from the Rashba that he doesn't understand what the Gemara is asking. In a case of a korban, you have to be able to bring the korban that the Torah offers you as an option in your status. But in the case of a chi of Misa, the halacha is you can't be made with something, someone, with the Misa that he was high of, let's say, was high of Skira. And your only option now to get him is to shoot him, or to give him chenek, or whatever it is, so you can lasso him. So that's what you do. So why wouldn't that follow logically from Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon is saying, it's true, af boso yedia, so to speak. Also according to current status. Because current status says, I can't therefore give him mamish the first yedia, I'll give him now the chenek. Why is that so bad, says the Rashi. Doesn't have a clear terse. You ought to be able to say the same thing, because it's not the same as karma. But in any event, it appears that we don't have someone who's ready to say it follows, by definition, the latest status. So let's see that insight. All that we see over here is that Rabbi Shimon takes into consideration the state in which the current matzav is at the time of the chiyah. But we don't say that he only takes that into consideration. Do you ever see a case in which he's also saying that we go only according to the time in which there's a yediyah that we should say that it should be bechenek? Absolutely, it's really bechenek. It's not really bechenek. Just the Gemara in Cain. If that would be the case, what would be the halacha? If he did hold that, then lysa carbon he has that, as we said. Why isn't he breaking the carbon according to the current situation? As a Mashuach, as a Nazi, a Sawyer. But he doesn't. So if he doesn't, it means Rabbi Shimon's not ready to go so far as to say, let's look at now. Says the Gemara, you know what? The whole thing is based on a contradiction. Well, I got news for you. There's another gears. According to the other gears, it's not a contradiction. Because Amalei Rabbi Yochanan and Latana, Tni, Tidon Beskila, that all back in the beginning, a Tana said over to Rabbi Yochanan, the bride of Shila, and Rabbi Yochanan said, no, that's the wrong here, son. It doesn't say Tidon Bechenek. It should say Tidon Beskila. Says the Gemara, but why? Na'aramu Rasam Rachmana. V'hobo Gerati. How do we know that? What is the basis of saying that we should follow Dafka the Zman of the Chait? Why is he so sure? Om Rabbi Yochanan, because of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Ha-Na'ara. Why does it say Ha-Na'ara? It means ha-na'ara shahayatakva. Even, in other words, she who had been the na'ara, the above referred to na'ara, I don't care if right now she's an old lady, but that woman who was that na'ara that I'm pointing to, the one that used to be, that's the one that gets that chiyuv. From which, says Tosis, we learn that all chiyuvim go according to the time at which the chiyuv took place, not what the matzav would be now when it comes to the chiyuv of Misa. So that means that the klal would be ishtani gufa lo ishtani ketala. According to Rabbi Yochanan, a change in her status, a physical status, doesn't change the chiyuv of Misa. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Loi. Well, so why doesn't that imply that when it comes to the husband who's being motzi shemah, the Torah is saying that nara nu? So why did it say you brought me a bride? When it comes to the guy who says the motzi shemah, that over there, the halacha is, no, if she is currently a bogeret, he does not get the malchus of a motzi shemah, and he does not pay the mayor shekel of a motzi shemah, but she gets the din of the nara. Now, how do you come up with that? If the point is that it's not dependent on a special chiddush or anything else, we're learning it out from a nara, which means that the Torah looks at the situation as it was at the time that it was done. So then why shouldn't we say the same thing? The motzi shemah is referring to a nara. So if he's referring to the Nara and he wanted to be Mechayev her Skila, so then he's the regular Motzi Shemra, isn't he? Omar Le, God help us from sick brains like yours. Rachamana Nitzalam, may I die. May God save us from brains like you. An idiotic question. To which Rav Hanania replied, on the contrary, may God save us from your brain. Adarava, Rachamana Nitzalam, may die to the dark. I mean, enough of the insults. What do they argue? The time of my, what Lamaisa is the difference between the cases? Omer Vitzbaravim, Vitema Vitzbarava. It's ridiculous on the surface to compare the two Bichlal. I mean, Zu Ma'asea Gormula. You'll notice that we don't bother explaining. Because this is something that if you don't understand, I can't argue with you. I mean, obviously you're looking at it from a completely different point of view. I mean, any idiot can tell the difference. Each one of them, Ma'asea Gormula. So she, at the time, when did her Maisa take place? When she was a novice. Why in the world would someone come up with the idea that the Motzi Shemra is defined by the object of which he's saying the Shemra, instead of the time in which he's doing the Chet of the Shemra? I don't understand. I think that's mad. So, I mean, if we're going to give her Skila because of the fact that she was a Nara at the time that she did the Chet, so then by the same token, we will not give him Malkus and not give him Mea Kesef, because at the time that he did the Chet, which was saying what he said, he was saying it about a woman who was then a Bogeret. Doesn't that make sense? Actually, I mean, we just saw that it doesn't really necessarily make sense.
Right.
Because at the time that he said it, she was also not Chayav Skila, had she been Mezayin at that point. So there's what to consider Rachmana Litzlan's about. I'm saying, you see. But since this is, it's not something that you can logically bring an absolute proof of one way or the other. I mean, it's a question of how you perceive the entire interrelationship, which is your das, basically. And I'm not going to persuade you that I'm right. Very interesting Ramban in the opening of his book on the Milchomis, in which he addresses the reader in Hakdama. And he says to the reader, if you're looking for Euclid, please don't read my book. In other words, I can't prove 100%. I'm offering you alternatives. I'm going to be able to prove that the Balamor is wrong. I mean, that's not the idea. But don't look for proofs. Look for a different way of looking at things. That's the same idea over here. I can't argue with you. So therefore, we're left with two different dinim according to this. That's today's braita. Since each one of them is being punished for the chet, and the chet at the time that it took place is what is important. So the motzi shemra, the male, is chayav because of the movement of his lips, which takes place now. While she is a bogeret, that she's no longer a nara. Mashen kein, her chet took place as a nara. So each one ma'aser gormula, and ze akimat svatav gormula. Zu ma'aser gormula, meaning kishi is anoy, nara is anoy. When she did the act of Znut, she was a Nara. But Zeh, her husband, Akibat Svatav Garmula, Eimat Kam Michayev, so when, what did he do the thing that he's been Chayev for? Hayishata, at the time that he said that lie about her. Vayishata, Bogeret Avoy. At the time that he said that lie about a grandmother.
Yeah. What's his punishment when she's a Bogeret?
We'll see later on. There's a punishment. It's Machlokes. We'll see today. Turn Rabbi. Nara hamurasa shezinta. So klinota al petach beit avia. So as we saw earlier, we have a halacha of beit avia in a case where she was a nara hamurasa. In la petach beit av, as we said, it's not that the beit av is ma'akev. So over there, so klinota al petach sha'ar ha'ir ha'i. We find the city in which the act had been done, even though her bezdin now may be in a completely different location, and we take her there in order to be sokel. But if it's an irshulu ba'akum, if it's mostly a non-Jewish city, so in that case, there's no halacha of being sokel at the shara'ir, because that's din in the population. So then, sokwino ta'al petach beit din. So then we actually bring her to the beit din. This doesn't mean literally al petach beit din, because as we saw elsewhere in Sanhedrin, we don't want people to associate the actual execution with the courts. So in other words, because people are going to feel this is an implication, the courts are vicious and they're murderers and so on. There's always these people that don't like capital punishment. Let's at least put it somewhere else. Okay, but that's what we need. Close to Beit Din. When it would come to Avodas Kochavim, Kayotseba Davarata Omer, HaAvela Vadat Kochavim, so Klinoto HaShar She'avad Bo, you bring him also to the city in which he did the Avodah Zorah. But Be'ir Shulubah Ode Kochavim, so Klinoto HaPetach Beit Din, which again means near the Beit Din. How do we know that there's a halacha that the place, not until now we've been talking about the time in the person's life when he committed the act, or his status at the time that he committed the act. Here, all of a sudden, we have a completely new idea, which is that there's a halakha also of the spatial relationships, the place where he was at the time that he did the act, which is an astonishing halakha, whose makor in the Torah, we don't know. The closest we got to it was that there should be petach beit av by the din of naram urasa, but we said earlier that that was for a particular reason, not because the chet necessarily refers to where it was that she had grown up, but because we're trying to say something about the way that she was raised. But where do we get the idea that the place of which a chet was performed is important in terms of the din that is applied to the person who was nikshal in that? Minohani Bili. It's a tremendous finish. Where do we know it from? The Tanur Rabbanan. When the Torah says she'arecha, the Torah talks about a tzeita ta'ishavu o isha'ahi el she'arecha u'sakalta ba'avani. So that's talking about avodat kochavim. And that, says the Braita, refers not to your personal shahr, but to the shahr she'avad bo. That is a reference to the place where he did the avodah zarah. No, ata omer shahr she'avad bo. That's what you say. How do you know that's true? O'inu ela shahr she'nidon bo. I mean, very often shahr refers to Beis Din, the shahr of Beis Din. The shahr, you know, means Beis Din. So maybe just the shahr of this Beis Din, local Beis Din? No. You see, because ne'mar she'arecha lemata, it refers to a shahr in this pasuk where it says Vahor Tzeita. But it also says she'arecha lemala, when it talks about where it was done. Ki imatze b'kirbecha b'achad she'arecha, isho isha she'yatza rabbe ne'a Hashem, etc., etc. So what is it referring to there? Not in Beis Din. It's referring to where the act took place. So be'achad she'arecha, an act took place in a particular place. And then it says, go to she'arecha. That's the same shahr. So it's a reference. One shahr teaches us about the other shahr. Ma she'arecha omer lemala. Just like the first shahr that occurs over here is a reference to where it happened. Sha'ar she'avad bo, by definition. Av she'arecha omer lemata, sha'ar she'avad bo. So too is the reference to the Otseita Ta'isha wa Ta'ishayi, a reference to where it was done to that shahr. Davar acher. Furthermore, we derive from she'arecha the other halacha that it says here, that if the city is a city of goyim, then we do not go ahead and do the stila al petach bet shahr. And then I learn out from the word she'arecha. She'arecha, your own sha'arim. V'lo sha'arei ovdei kochavim, but not the sha'arei ayarot ha'akum. Now wait a minute, wait, how could you learn two things from the same word? Hai she'arecha ha'afikte. Didn't you just use this to tell me the halacha of shahr as being a reference to the place in which the chet took place? In Cain, lema kro shahr, my she'arecha. To compare the two sha'arim, I don't need it, it should be she'arecha. It could have just been el ha'shahr. And that would have been enough to know it was that shahr. What do I have to say, she'arecha dafka, that it should be, once again, your own shahr? That's adding a new piece of information. That it's the shahr, the same shahr, but it's the shahr of yours when it's Jewish. But now it's not yours when it belongs to Akum, which is the other sense. That's the cha of the shahr. Okay. Very interesting thing. Relationship to place. Of course, refer to it in English as well.
How?
To where the act took place. Very interesting idea. And what do you think took place? Happened. How did it took place become happened? Something to do with place. Right. This is a further idea of the nature of shom, which is a very curious word that appears, you would think, only in English.
What word?
There. Yeah. There is. Where is? There is. Not a spatial thing. There is. So I think there is. So you would think that, and that's because English is a very physical language, and so it can only refer to something that is given physical coordinates. There is. Even though existentially, there is isn't. That there's no physical particular locations of pure existence. And yet, remarkably, the Rambam translates that word into Hebrew. He doesn't say yesh motzi rishon. He says yesh shom motzi rishon, even though he says there is no there when it comes to the motzi rishon. Of course, God doesn't exist in place. So if he doesn't exist in place, then why do you say shom? So as you can see, this is quite a serious issue when things take place, even though it's not in a place.
If he's there, nobody else uses that word.
Huh?
Nobody else uses that
word. No. It's a remarkable thing.
Yeah.
Okay, but in any event, our Gemara becomes now the beginning of the Mokar in the Torah, that somehow place is so much a part of events that the onesh has to be applied according to the place, not only according to the event.
Scene of the crime.
But that the scene of the crime is mechayev of the onesh, so that's a new case. Good. So in Kain Lemakras Shar, my Shar, Rechashma Minat Tart, continues the Brayta. Okay, that tells me that when it comes to Avodat Kochavim, that Avodat Kochavim is a function of place. Okay, but I mean, that's because the Torah makes such a big deal of Be'ach HaCharech in the first place. Maybe indeed Akum is very related to place, but I mean, Nara Amu'urasa? What's the Nafkamina where a woman sleeps with a guy? This city, that city, who cares? Why would Nara Amu'urasa be specific? Minolan? Omer Rebbe Abu, Gomar Petach, Mi Petach, Hu Petach, Mishar, Mishar, Misharecha. By the way, you think this has something to do with the Halakha Milchus Tshuva, that you have to be in the same hotel with the same woman to be able to be Metakein the Chet that took place in that place? Fascinating. In the same way the Onesh is defined by the place, the Chet is defined by the place in terms of doing Tshuva. So you're only about Tshuva Gomar in the same place.
Now there's Tshuva.
So, how do we know that this is true about an Ara Amurasa? Om Rabbi Abu, look at the psalm. Votziva an Ara el Petah, right? Now it says Petah. So you'll say, okay, but Petah is not a Shar. I mean, Petah is a local house, right? And a local house, that was a din, particularly in teaching the parents, look at this kid that you raised and so on. I mean, that has nothing to do with the city. Ah, but look at the other place where the Torah uses Petah as if it's part of the Shar. At Masach Petach Shar Achatzer. So a Petach and a Shar, smile, buddy. Petach and a Shar are interrelated. Once we know that's true, so then that means the Petach Aviyah is actually itself a Shar. But then we can learn Shar from this Shar, which is the Sharecha. But just like the Sharecha that appears by Avodas Kochavim is a reference to where it took place, as it says in the earlier Sharecha, so too is the Shar, which equals Petach, that appears now by the Beit Aviyah, an equivalent to the Sharecha of Avodat Kochavim. Gevaldik. Okay, turn it up. Hamotzi Shemra Loke V'notein Me'asela. So first of all, the Motzi Shemra, he gets Malkus. And he also pays the Me'asela. Rabbi Yehuda said, I don't like the way you are making those two things interrelated. Because what you're saying is, and this is Abba's question, what you're saying is that if he's not included in the Din of Motzi Shemra to get the Me'a Kesev, so then there's no Malkus. That's not true. Lilkot lokem mikomako. Malkus he's always going to get. I don't care what the situation is. And we'll see what this means when it comes. According to Rashi, Rashi says even at this point we know Malkus you're going to get no matter what. That's because Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that you're lokin even on a lav she'in bo ma'isa, and the Torah says that you are not allowed to be erlech rochio. So what do you think? Lo selech rochio is just a good idea. A guy who goes around talking Lashon Hara, it's taken into Besdin, hauled in, and giving Malkus. The same way he would be breathing Chazer. So therefore, Malkus is unrelated to the din specifically of Motzi Shemra. You'll get Malkus come hell or high water. The Me'a Sela, they're already the special halachas. Me'a Sela is dependent if he was Baal, notein. If he really had slept with this woman and is claiming now the dinin, this is a new halach. His claim is Lo Matzati Lebitcha Bitulim. If it turns out he never even took her to bed, then of course he didn't find Betulim. But so we're not talking about a guy like that. Right? In other words, the halacha over here is, it's a continuation, it's extension of the dinim of rape. So if there's raping her body, for which you pay 50. And then there's raping her in terms of the psychology of what you did to her body, which you pay 100. Which is the raya that it's worse to do something than to talk about it. I mean, worse to talk about it rather than to do it. Right? Because here we're talking about a mental rape, you pay 100. Physical rape, you only pay 50. That's the Gemara's Raya, the Chumra of Lashon Hara. So if that's the case, it makes a nafkamina if he's included in the din of a Motzi Shemra that he actually was Baal, so then he's no taint. Lo Baal, he no taint. But then if he hadn't been Baal, he doesn't pay. And actually, the first way we understand this is that it's dependent on the machlokus that we're going to see tomorrow. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's shita is that the parsha of Motzi Shemra is a parsha of someone who takes a woman to the chuppah, sleeps with her, and then goes out to destroy her life. But if it's talking about over here someone who never was Baal, then the whole halacha doesn't start. I mean, it's just a regular rotten no good thing. But it's not part of the sexual abuse cases. Over here it's abuse by Lashon Hara. But that's not sexual if he had never had contact with her. That's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The Rabbanan say, what does that have to do with it? We're being mechayev for the speech. What's an afkamina? If he slept with her, he didn't sleep with her, that's irrelevant. The guy is saying this about her. That is an abuse, like on his Vachikama. So now that we know that about Korbis, we'll see more of it later in Vachikama. So the Tanakama, Amotzi Shemra says, Tanakama, Lokev and Oteng Me'asela, and it's always like that. Bein Baal, Bein Lo Baal. That's what the Tanakama holds. So that is saying exactly like the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say, Amotzi Shemra did not have to actually sleep with the woman that he's talking about. Whereas Rabbi Yudah says, no, he certainly did. It's true the Malkus component isn't dependent on that, because Lo Telech Rachil is a general halacha. But certainly the Mea Shekel is an extension of sexual abuse. And therefore, if he had never had any sexual contact with her, so how is it Shaykh to be Mechayim and Mea Shekel? So therefore, the answer to Avraham's question would be, we would beat him up and he would be lashed, but he wouldn't pay the fine. That's what Rabbi Yudah is saying.
There's no punishment for him trying to get the aid of to cause her death?
No. Other than lashes.
No, but he gets that because of Motzi Shem
Ra. Right.
That's nothing to do with the
other. Smart man. The attempt to take a contract out on somebody is not funny. Although we have alternatives. Rather vicious alternatives for punishment.
Even though they shoot at her.
Right. In other words, attempted murder is not dealt with in the Torah as a chiyuv. I miss. But there's an entirely different system of din, which a Beis Din has access to, which is there for the protection of society, and that, in fact, is up to them. They can take the guy, string him up by his toes, and feed him to the crows, and if that's going to make the impression, it will prevent further attempted murders. But they'll do whatever is necessary, but what is necessary is very much a function of the time and place. So that's how we understand the machlokas. Tanakama is saying it doesn't have anything to do with the Yila. Rabbi Yudah is saying, no, it does. It's just the Malkus part does it. So the Me'asela Baal, Notein Lo, Lo Baal, Eina Notein Lo, he obviously holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, there's an alternative way of understanding this machlokas. Ikeni Amri, others say, no, actually, everybody holds Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So when the Tanakama says, you are linking the din of Me'a Shekel to the din, I mean, the din of Malkus, the din of Me'a Shekel, so they're saying, look, we hold like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So Amotzi Shem Ra is going to always be doing two things. He's always going to be getting Malkus, and he's always going to be paying Me'asela. But of course, it's not if he was Ba'al, as Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said. Whereas Rabbi Yudah says, I agree with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and I agree with the part that's important for Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. That's the part of the 100 shekel. But Lilkot Lokem Mikom Akom, he will always get Malkus. Sober Rabbi Yehuda, what Rabbi Yehuda holds is the kot lokem mikom makom, whether he is Baal or not. Vatani Rabbi Yehuda on there, Baal lokem, lo Baal eino lokem, what are you going to do about that? He says, Beferish not like that. Omra Nachum Bar Yitzchak, you're right, you know. The lokem, when he says over here, lo Baal eino lokem, what he meant was, he doesn't get Malkus the rice, but he does get Malkus Mardus, min Rabbana. The point over here is, that we will give him Malkus, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, we will never let the guy get away with murder. We have a prescribed lashes. Rav Papa says, you know, when he said Ba'al Lokeh, he didn't mean he gets Malkus, meaning we give him lashes. He means we beat him up financially. That's what he means. So the Lokeh is talking about the element of the Me'a Shekel. That's what it's saying. Ba'al Lokeh, lo Ba'al lo Lokeh. If he actually slept with her, then he gets beaten with his monetary fine as well. If not, he doesn't. But the actual lashes, then he would get in any event. So that there's no contradiction. What? Korile le moment, Malkus, man, that's weird. Tell me Malkus, but it's me Malkus, means Malkus, moment. That's crazy. Oh no, it's not crazy. I'll show you that we actually do that. Ian, we absolutely do. It's a Mishnah. It's not. Omer chatsi arki alai. A guy dedicates, let's say someone would dedicate his own value, not as his value in the market, which is called domi, but rather his predefined value, which is called an erech in the Torah, which is defined by his own gender and his age. So what's the din over there that he pays? What if he says half of that value? I will pay half that value. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying I'll pay half that value. You can define whatever you want. You can say, I will pay half of the value of gold on April 16th, 1921. And then you'll be fine. So I'll pay half of the value of gold, April 16, 1921. What's wrong with saying I will pay half of my era? And it says the most amazing thing. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, Lokev and Otein Erev Shalem. We beat him up.
No, can't. What do you understand? What do you mean we beat him up? Guy's trying to give money to Agnes. We beat him up. Omer of Papa, it means loket be'erach shalem, that he is unfortunately beaten in the sense that he's going to have to pay the whole thing. Why? My timer. Because people are not so smart. And someone who says, I will pay half of my erach, may make the mistake of the next time saying, I want to pay half of my erach. Erach of half of me. And he'll think it's the same thing. I want to pay erach of half of me. He'll think it's the same thing as saying, I want to pay half of my erach. But it's not. Because the din is, when it comes to erachin, if you say, I want erach taken only of my heart, that's the whole thing. Because if we take out your heart, you're gone. So Mamela, anything that your life is dependent on is considered to be erach of the whole thing. If we took half of you away, the other half wouldn't survive. And since that's the case, Mamela, when you say erach of half of me, you're trying to be erach of all of me. And people are going to think, so what's the difference between saying half of my erach or the erach of my half? Oh, there's all the difference in the world. And therefore, in order to cover that possibility, lokeh, but of course lokeh meaning financially, lokeh, because gezerah chatzi erko, otu erach chetzio, and erach chetzio habilei eva shanashama tlu yabo. Obviously, half of you is like saying, take my heart, only the erach of my heart. There's this thing is only the erach of your heart, as any lover well knows. So,